And read God's word for us.
Romans 6, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
I'm continuing in Romans 6 from verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Or shall we sin? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God.
Amen. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the power of your word, and Lord, we ask that as Andy comes and shares your word with us now, Lord, that your spirit would take it and would accomplish your will, your ways within each of us for your glory. Amen. Amen. It's a great joy to have Andy with us. So welcome, Andy.
Thank you.
Take it away, boy.
Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. If you have that passage in Romans 6 to hand, do keep it open. So we're going to be focusing our thoughts on for these next few minutes. I wonder if you've ever had the experience where something significant has changed in your life, but it takes a while to get used to it. Maybe you've changed a job, or maybe you moved house, and you still find yourself on autopilot, making the journey towards the old place rather than the new one. Maybe you got married and you changed your name, and it took a while to always remember to use the new one. Maybe younger people in school or in college, remember those days when you were in school and you're in college, and you start a new year, you have a new timetable, but you find yourself heading towards one of last year's classrooms by mistake. It can take a while, can't it, to leave behind the old and to get used to the new, to have a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 6. We need to get used to the new freedom that we have and to live in the light of it. Simon Ponsonby's great book on Romans uses the red, amber and green structure to unpack this passage. And I'm going to use that because I found it really, really helpful myself. Just like with traffic lights, red means stop, amber means think, green means go. So first of all, red. Now that we are forgiven, when it comes to sin, we need to be clear. It's a red light. God wants us to stop the old patterns of thinking and doing things, which we know to be wrong. So in verse 1, Paul writes, should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. He says, no. In verse 15, part of the way through the passage, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but we're under grace? By no means. No. And this is possible because something massive has changed. If you look at verse 6, this is what Paul says. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, with Jesus, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Our old nature, our sinful nature, was crucified with Jesus. It is dead. The moment that we trusted in Jesus, in his death and his resurrection, our old sinful nature was crucified with him. This is the truth. This is the facts of the situation. Nothing can change this. Now, you may not have been taught this before. We may not have realized this before. Maybe it doesn't even feel like it in the daily battle with temptation, but this is the truth. Our old nature is dead and buried. The part of us that always tended to choose the wrong thing, to choose to sin, that loved to live in that way, is now dead. It's finished. That is a fact. Now, I know a number of you have gone through the process to become British citizens. And that process comes to a climax in that moment in a ceremony where citizenship is conferred to you. And in that moment, a significant change happened. That was a fact. Now, when you walk out of that room, you may not feel any different to how you felt when you walked in, but something massive has changed. The old has gone, the new has come. And from that moment, it is possible to live in a new way because of that new fact. And it may take a while for you to gradually come to understand that and to act in that way and to feel differently about it, but it starts with that moment of change. And Paul says here that's similar to what's happened to us when we trusted in Jesus. Our old sinful nature was put to death, and this massive change makes a new way of living possible, giving sin a red light. Stopping the old ways of thinking and acting is now possible because the sinful nature is dead. That's the fact. The way we act, the way we feel about that may take a little while to change, to catch up, but it doesn't change that fact. That's not easy. Every single one of us struggle with temptation every day. And if we're honest, so much of it we enjoy. That's what makes it tempting. In the next chapter, we'll see in chapter 7, even Paul himself says, I still do the things I don't want to do. But the wonderful thing is we're not left to our own strength of will to try and live this good life on our own. which brings us to our amber light. The fact of our new freedom changes the way we should think. There's something new here to understand, to believe, to really grab hold of. So in verse 11, Paul writes, in the same way, consider yourselves dead to sin. And in verse 17, he says, thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You used to be slaves to sin. It was your master. It had a power over you that you could not resist. But now that power that sin held over you has been broken. Now we have an enemy who does not want us to believe this. And Paul writes in verse 11 here, take some time, consider this, think this through. I really want you to, I need you to grasp this. Sin no longer has the same hold on you that it used to have. The only power that it can ever have now is a power that you choose to give it. This coming Wednesday, three more sleeps. Wednesday, the 17th of June, the Premier League football season is restarting. And I'm sure that is news that's been met with equal measures of joy and despondency by different members of households across the land. Now, I'm sure you know that the way the football teams work is that players can be transferred from one team to another team, usually for staggering amounts of money. So when one player moves from one team, let's say Chelsea, and moves to another, let's say Aston Villa, which would be a good move, the old manager no longer has any control over that player. Now, if the two teams were due to play one another and the old manager phoned up that player and said, you know, in this match, I want you to do such and such, the player doesn't need to listen to those instructions from the previous manager any longer. That relationship, that power relationship, is broken. If the player does listen to the old manager, that's entirely his own choice. But he has a new status, which means he is free of those old ties and needs a new way of thinking. Or maybe you have a mobile phone that's on a contract. You'll understand that the day that contract term ends, the old contract is dead. The old company has no power to make you stay with them. You are free to make different choices. You can choose to keep paying them, but you don't have to. New status brings that new freedom. The old is broken. You can think in a new way. And that's what Paul wants us to realize here. To use this amber light, to take some time to stop and think about this, to take it on board. Consider yourselves, believe yourselves to be dead to sin. You may not feel like it, particularly with things that perhaps you've struggled with for a long time, but this is the truth. You are free to make different choices. You master it now, not the other way around. And the only power it can ever have now is the power that you choose to give. And my own experience in this is that it comes down to a 1 or 2 second window of opportunity when temptation comes. And the choice you make in that first moment when temptation comes will likely determine which way it goes. So now, in the light of this, Paul says, in that moment, you can think, I am dead to this stuff. It has no power over me. I know I can make a different choice here. So in that 2 seconds, you can decide to look longer at whatever it is, or you can choose to use the power to turn away. You can begin to let your thoughts fantasize over something, or you can choose to take that thought captive and stop it. You can lie, not speak the truth, or you can choose to speak the truth. You can steal something, or you can choose to walk away, whatever it might be. Church, God wants us all to know this. In Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. He has set us free from the power it once had. we are free to make the right choice. And that is possible every time. Now, do I make that choice every time? No, I don't. Have I ever met anyone who does, who lives a completely sin-free life? No, I haven't. Does that mean then it's just not possible? By no means, to use Paul's words. Let's never resign ourselves to thinking that the battle will never be won. To settle for second best, to believe the lie of the enemy, which will just kind of make us think, oh, this is just how I am, or I can't control myself on this thing, I can't ever overcome it. The truth is we are no longer slaves to sin. Its power has been broken. The new nature that we have been given and the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us is greater than the one who's in the world trying to tempt us. So Paul wants the fact of our new status to bring this new way of thinking about it. We are free. Which brings us to our third light, the green light. Not only are we free to stop doing things, we are free to go, to move, to do something different. So in verse 11, Paul writes, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. And in verse 19, he says, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. So it's not only a red light telling us to stop doing the wrong things, but also a green light which says, go and do something positive and good and godly and right. We have a new freedom to walk in the opposite direction to the one we used to go in. So no longer towards sin, but towards God. Not simply stopping doing the bad stuff, but actively replacing it with good stuff. And for some temptations that we face, choosing to walk in the opposite direction, in the opposite spirit, can be really helpful in truly overcoming it. If you know that you tend to be selfish or greedy for money or for things, not only ask the Holy Spirit to help you stop, to change that attitude at the red light, but also to choose to be generous, to give things away. Go for the green light. Not only is that a good thing to do, but it's so freeing. It can break the hold that greed has over you, and your Holy Spirit can help you make that change. If you know you have some secret habit, something that's shameful that you always keep hidden, not only asking the Holy Spirit to help you stop doing that secret thing that's so destructive, but to take the brave step to intentionally bring it into the open with someone that you trust, someone who you know will not judge you. Be open and honest and accountable. That's so powerful in helping break the hold that that thing has over you. Many of you will know that I grew up in a very godly Christian home. But as part of that, I went to a boys' secondary school. And in that setting, I very quickly became a young man with a very foul mouth. He used to swear a lot and take every opportunity to put people down. That was the culture. It was kind of boys' banter. You always had to be trying to have a go at someone, find a fault, make fun of them. And when I became a Christian and started following Jesus, I knew that that wasn't good. That I needed to stop that, to show a red light to that. But also, for me, it was helpful to intentionally choose to speak things that were more thankful and appreciative and encouraging, to give a green light with the help of the Holy Spirit to walk in the opposite direction. You see how that works? Because this is the kind of life that we are called to. This is the life that we have been set free to live. As followers of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, our lives should be different. And they can be different and distinctive. And not only should we be known for the things that we do not do, that we've shown a red light to, but in addition to that, surely we should be known for those good things, those godly things that we do do. The church here in Romans chapter 6 all outlines for us our new freedoms. Freedom from the power of sin and freedom for the purposes of God. And I think his prayer and my prayer is that we would grasp this fact, that our old nature is dead, that we would live in the light of it, for our good and for God's glory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that it speaks to us so powerfully today. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal your truth to us. Reveal to us the truth that our old nature is dead. It was crucified with Jesus. Help us to think, to believe, to really grasp the truth that we have been set free from the power of sin, free to make different choices. And help us to show the red light to those things which need to stop, and a green light to those things that you want us to walk in now, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.